would turn with me to Luke, the 12th chapter, Luke, the 12th chapter. Luke, the 12th chapter, the 54th verse, Luke 12, 54. Luke 12:54. It reads us, he said to the crowd, when you see a cloud rising in the west, immediately you say it's going to rain, and it does. And when the south wind blows, you say it's going to be hot, and it is. Hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of the earth and the sky. How is it that you don't know how to interpret this present time? Let me read that again for you, just in two verses. He said to the crowd, when you see a cloud rising in the west, immediately say, it's going to rain, and it does. And when the south wind blows, you say, it's going to be hot, and it is. Hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of the earth and the sky. How is it that you don't know how to interpret this present time? Brothers and my sisters, I ask that you would join me in a word of prayer as we share on the sermon subject, do you know what time it is? Do you know what time it is? Or if I had a remix version, it would be called an encampment education. An encampment education. God, in Jesus' name, we thank you for this moment that is yours. God, I give you glory, God, for your hand and your power. Now, God, grab a hold of me and use me to your honor, to your glory. God, we thank you for souls to be saved. We thank you for sick to get healed. We thank you for the bound to get set free. Have your way, God. Send the preacher, send the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. You know, it's a horrible thing to miss a moment because you don't realize what time it is. It's a horrible thing to miss an opportunity because you can't discern what is happening. It's a horrible thing to look back. Is there anybody here that you've ever looked back over life and realized you missed a moment? I mean, did you miss it? Okay, let me come back for you this way. Is there anybody who years later, you realize that that person did have a crush on you and you didn't have a clue? Any clueless people in the house today? And you wish you had understood what was happening in the moment. Have I got a witness in the house today? And you realize I missed what? A moment. That's a very regular way of being able to shape it, but it's that way in life. It's that way in the world that sometimes you can have things happening right in front of you and you miss the moment. That you not understand what's happening in front of you and you miss the opportunity to maximize a situation, to maximize a moment, to get the best out of and to be able to do what God has for you to do in a moment. It's interesting because Jesus in the scriptures talking about it, he says, look, man, y'all can tell the weather about how a cloud is. Y'all can tell the weather. Anybody here had a grandmother or a mother who could tell you what the weather was going to be by her bones aching? Amen, somebody? Amen. They could discern the season. Amen, somebody. Discern what was about to happen. Discern what was happening by an ache they had. Sometimes it's that same way in life. That there's some aches that you're having. There's some aches that the world is having. There's some aches and some pains and some groans that are crying out that allow us to be able to discern the season. That you look at the nation. There's some aches in this nation. Have I got a witness in the house? There's some aches in the economy. There's some aches in our communities, and some aches in our children, and some aches that allow us, if we're wise, to be able to discern the season. But the challenge is, good God Almighty, that we've got too many people in politics right now who are not concerned about the season, but they're concerned about their pocketbook. They're not concerned about what's happening for regular, everyday people, but they're concerned about keeping their power. But I've come by to talk to some folks today about, I need some regular folks who can discern the season. Amen, somebody. I need some regular folks who can, in the word of whether it's the old rap or whether y'all know how we get it from Rare Essence. Amen, somebody can say, do you know what time it is? Tell me, do you know? It's a horrible thing. It's a horrible thing to not understand what time it is in your community and watch your children killing each other. It's a horrible thing to not be able to discern what time it is and watching the inequities causing you to be able to fall susceptible to early death in pregnancy by women more than any other demographic. It's a horrible thing to not be able to discern what time it is and your community be falling to pieces while other communities are being built up. It's a horrible thing to be able to watch other folks move into the neighborhoods that you helped to get together and end up now the property rate goes up, but as soon as you move in, the property rate goes down. It's a horrible thing to not be able to discern what time it is. Tell me, do you know? Do you know what time? It's a horrible thing to not be able to discern what time it is on the world stage that when stuff is happening overseas that's going to impact you right here, but you not understand and be able to discern what time it is, and so therefore you don't pay attention to other people's tragedy when you don't understand that the tragedy they're facing is going to be coming for you in a month or two. If you don't understand how to navigate and help them with what they're dealing with, because an injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. Have I got a witness in the house today? It's a horrible thing to not understand what time it is, and when you don't understand what time it is and you show up late for everything, when you don't understand what time it is, then your children end up late for it. When you don't understand what time it is, then your finances end up late for it. When you don't understand what time it is, then your health ends up late for it. Then you end up being the last hired and the first fired when you don't understand what time it is. And when you don't understand what time it is, you don't know what fights you need to fight. And so there's a fight going on and you late for the fight. And you show up and the fight's already been fought and your stuff has already been taken because you don't understand what. You don't understand what time it is, and I believe that we are at a place in this nation, we're at a place in this world in which we have to be able to discern what time it is. That we've got to be able to lock into what time it is. And in that, I'm trying to figure out, Reverend Bill, trying to figure out, God, what are you saying in these times of such great tragedy, in these times of such great mourning, in these times of such great separation of wealth, in these times, God, in which the haves have more and the have-nots have less. God, what are you saying to the church in this time? And God said, I've got to take you back to school. Good God Almighty. God said, I've got to take you back to school. What do you mean, God, you've got to take me back to school? And God showed me, it was these two quotes, and some would attribute them to Lao Tzu or to even attribute it to Darth Vader in Star Wars. And the second one would attribute it to one of the Buddhas. But the first quote, it says, the student has become the master. The second quote says, when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. But when the student is truly ready, the teacher will disappear. It's this understanding, good God Almighty, that sometimes the student ends up becoming the teacher. Sometimes the student, when the student is ready, is able to be at a level that they don't need the teacher, and the teacher disappears because now it's time for the student to teach. And I had to understand that I had to go to some students to realize they were now the teachers. And if you look all over this nation, we find students that are now teachers. We find students that are now teachers at about 150 colleges of student protest in this nation. The students have become the teachers. The students have become the ones who are sharing the prophetic word of what is happening in this season. The students are the ones who become the Holy Ghost meteorologists who are telling us what the weather forecast is. It's the students who are trying to tell this world where wrong is and identify it and trying to push it towards the right it needs to be. Right now, the students have become the teachers. Have I got a witness in the house today? And so I've come by my brothers and my sisters because I had to understand what time it is. And God had to get me to an encampment education. that God had to take me to the encampment at George Washington University to learn from some students who became my teachers. And so there are a few things I want to share with you, and I'm going to be up out of here. We're going to get communion. One of the first things you've got to understand, and one of the first things I learned this Friday when I went to that encampment and sat with those students just trying to be a support to them, and they really ended up teaching me, one of the first things that I was able to learn at that encampment is there's nothing new under the sun. Turn to your neighbor, say there's nothing new under the sun. Ecclesiastes 1:9 says what has been will be again, and what has been done will be done again. There is nothing new under the sun. And I'm sitting here and I'm at this encampment and I walk into the encampment. I walk into this encampment. It's down at Georgetown University. These young people have set up these tents, and these young people have set up this whole, they've taken over. They've just taken over. These young people have taken over. And I walked in and it took me back to 1985. Took me back to 1985, and God spoke to me and reminded me there's nothing new under the sun. That's right, it took me back to 1985 when I was a student at the University of Maryland at College Park. And at the University of Maryland at College Park in 85 and in 86, they had what were called the shanty towns. They had what they were called the shanty towns. The students at the University of Maryland had done their own encampment, because the students at the University of Maryland were joining other students all over this nation that were shaping encampments to fight against the divestment and causing their university to divest from apartheid South Africa. They were saying that apartheid is wrong. Nelson Mandela was still in jail, y'all. Nelson Mandela was in jail. I said Nelson Mandela was in jail, and the students were saying that something has to happen, and they connected to a larger legacy of student anti-apartheid movement, and they shaped a shanty town. They shaped tents, and they shaped areas right there at the University of Maryland, and they said that we are going to stay right here until the university divests from its whole buildings and companies that are working in South Africa. They said because apartheid is wrong, because the way that minority is overseeing that majority black nation, the mechanisms of apartheid are dysfunctional and unfair, and the students, good God Almighty, knew what time it was. Then there was an interesting thing, because I must admit, I never slept out in the shanty town. Because the reality is, I still was the little thug mentality. Amen, somebody. I still was an I don't care mentality. I still had not been politicized. And the reality was, I didn't see how what they were doing was going to make a difference. And I sat and I looked at what they were doing, and I said, how is you all putting up some tents at the University of Maryland going to make a difference all the way over there in South Africa? This university ain't going to pay no attention to y'all. This university isn't going to deal with y'all. Not. And I sat there, and I was cynical. I was cynical because I did not see how God was going to be able to use them to do something to make an impact at such a high level. That I was cynical, and so therefore, I did not pay good attention to it. I had friends who were sleeping out there. They had schedules, and they were sleeping out there at night and staying out there during the day because they felt that it was something bigger than them, good God Almighty, and they could discern the times. I was in the middle of the time, but I missed the time. I was in the middle of the situation, but I could not understand the situation. I did not believe that they could have an impact, but yet history has proven them wrong, because I told y'all that was in 85 and in 86, but in 1989, the University of Maryland divested from all of its issues in South Africa because of what those students did. Well, can I take you a little bit further? By 1990, Nelson Mandela got out of jail. Lord have mercy. And by 1994, Nelson Mandela was the president of South Africa. I'm trying to help somebody here today. I couldn't see it. I didn't understand the times. And I had to get to George Washington University to see these young people at this encampment to realize, good God Almighty, there's nothing new under the sun. And there are folks telling them that ain't nothing gonna happen. And there are folks telling them that what y'all do is not gonna matter. And there are folks telling them that what you're gonna do is not gonna have an impact. But if it can have an impact in 1989 and in 1990 and in 1994, it can have an impact right now? Have I got somebody up in here that knows that God is trying to do something in your life? You may not have an encampment, but you've got an unwinnable situation. But that's what makes it historical, because first, it's unwinnable. If it looks like it can't be won, that means it needs to be more than just you. But you need some Holy Ghost power to get up on it too. Have I got somebody in here that can shout, there's nothing new under the sun? It's nothing new under the sun. The second thing I believe we can learn from this text, we're trying to figure out what time it is that we've got to learn our lessons. My grandmama used to say to me when I would come back from elementary school, baby, are you learning your lessons? Anybody ever had a grandmama say that to you? Are you learning your lessons? And I've come by to say that one of the challenges for many of us in our own lives is we're not learning our lessons. We're not learning our lessons, so we keep repeating the same old stuff over and over again because we're not learning our lessons. Reverend Leslie DeWitt was with us at the encampment, and she wrote something on Facebook when she got back home that provoked me. She said, Reverend Leslie said that one of the most profound things a student protester said to us yesterday was that the school will teach us about the significance of the civil rights movement and its purpose, but they don't want the students to apply the same lessons they teach. The lesson I learned at the encampment was that these students were literally embodying what they've been taught. They had been taught about speaking truth to power, but the university didn't like it when the university is the power. They've been taught about being able to discern the times and discern what is right and what is well, to be able to look and be able to call a genocide for what it is, a genocide, and be able to stand up in whatever ways that they can against the genocide, but yet the universities do not want them to have learned their lessons. And isn't it that way in your life sometimes? That you've had to learn lessons by the way that people have taught you and treated you and dealt with you, but yet you learn those lessons and you put them into effect in your own life, and people who want to keep power over your life don't want you to do better and don't want you to grow. And so when you start to grow, I mean, they tell you to go to church, but when you actually start walking in some power, then all of a sudden they got an issue with why you got to go to church so much. I wish I had a witness in the house today. Is there somebody up in here? They tell you that you need to become a better you, a more whole you, a more healthy you. You need to get some relationship counseling and all that kind of stuff. But when you get well enough to understand they ain't no good for you, Lord have mercy, then all of a sudden they got an issue because they want to keep power over you. Have I got somebody in the house knows what I'm talking about? That they tell you you need to get your life together. But as soon as you start to get your life together and you realize they was one of the problems in your life, Lord have mercy, then all of a sudden they get upset and they want to tell you how wrong you are. But you learn, you are somebody in the house today, I've come by to tell you, you got to learn your lessons. You got to be able to learn your lessons, and it don't matter if the people who taught you your lessons are the ones you've got to then be able to use the lessons against, but you've got to learn your lessons. Have I got anybody in the house today says, Reverend, I'm ready to learn, I'm ready to not just learn it, but I'm ready to apply it, because it don't make sense for you to have book learning and not use it in your own life. Have I got anybody in here that can give God glory and say, I'm going to use what I've learned? I've been down too long, but baby, right now is my getting up season. In this great getting up morning, fare ye well, fare ye well. If I got somebody in here, say it's time for you to get up, rise up, stand up. I don't care what boss got an issue. I don't care what power got an issue. I don't care what government got an issue. Learn your lessons and walk in power. Learn your lessons. The third thing, now I'm up out of here. Good God Almighty, I feel the Holy Ghost. His faith matters. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, faith matters. Faith. Faith. matters. Faith matters. When you are fighting a battle that seems too big for you, that's when you got to hold on to your faith. When you are fighting a foe that seems to have you outnumbered, that's when you've got to hold on to your faith. That when you are fighting against powers and principalities and spiritual wickedness in high places, I'm talking about our government right now, that's when you got to hold on to your faith. Because it may seem outside of your ability to do something, but faith will let you know that if you've got the faith the size of a mustard seed, then a mountain can move. That faith will let you know. It was by faith, good God Almighty, that our foreparents took sweet potato pies and built institutions. It was by faith that our foreparents, in the midst of some of the most egregious segregation you've ever seen, were able to believe that they could raise their children to be doctors and lawyers and preachers. And it was by faith they believed when Bull Connor was out there that they could stand in the midst of a fight against attack dogs and police, and they could stand against water hoses, and it was going to make a difference some way, somehow. And they understood that they may not see it, but that God would do a work for their children and their children's children, and they believed it by faith. Why do you think in the civil rights movement that every time they were about to go do an action, they first went by the church to have a prayer meeting and to sing the songs of victory? Because they understood, good God Almighty, that I can't just do this by myself, but my faith looks up to thee, O Lamb of Calvary, Savior divine. It was by faith. Have I got somebody in here that understands that as bad as your credit looks, your faith can get you out? Faith in a good work ethic and some sound financial principles can turn your life around. It's by faith that we work in these communities, believing that God can stop our children from killing each other and robbing each other and carjacking. It's by faith that we stand in the midst of a dying world to shout about a Jesus that says, let me show you something that blew my mind at the encampment. As I told y'all, we went to the encampment to try to support them. We went to the encampment to try to see, hey, do y'all need some waters? Do y'all need some charges? And what can we do? What resources can we bring to you all? And in the middle of that moment, a brother from the Orthodox Church, a student organizer, came and said, hey, excuse me, you all are pastors? Yes, sir, we're pastors. He said, well, we're about to have Good Friday service because the Orthodox Church is on the Julian calendar. And so the Orthodox Church's Easter is a little bit after our Easter. And so their Easter is today, and Good Friday was on Friday. And we just happened to be there, Lord have mercy, on Good Friday. It was about 4 o'clock. And they said, we're having the service around 7, 7:30. We don't want to impose on you, but would you be able to stick around? Because we need a word, Lord have mercy, in the midst of this situation. It was mind-blowing to me, the lesson that I learned from the student leader, who they decided that in the midst of all of the organizing, in the midst of being in camp and fighting for the Palestinian cause, in the midst of dealing with police and campus police, in the midst of Republicans coming down and talking about them and trying to get people to kick them out from where they are, in the midst of a school system that wanted to kick them from out from where they are, in the midst of all of that, they still wanted to have church. They still, good God Almighty, wanted to have a worship service. They still wanted to have a Good Friday service. It blessed me because we're all there by faith. You had the Christians do the Good Friday service. After that, you had the Muslims do prayer. After that, you had the Jews be able to do their service, because we could all, Lord have mercy, walk together by faith.
that nobody weaponized their faith against each other, but we all walked understanding there's a humility to faith, that we all believe what we believe by faith. And just because you don't believe what I believe doesn't mean I have to stomp on you. And just because you don't believe what I believe doesn't mean I have to kick on you. But we can all be in the place together because we all fight the same hell. We all fight, Lord have mercy, the same empire. We all fight against the same folks that claim to be with us but won't do right for us. If I got a witness in the house today, there's no way in the world that black folks in America should not be fighting for Palestinians in Gaza, because we fight the same hell. We fight the same devil. We fight the same militarization. If I got a witness in the house today, but we fight our fight by faith. If I got somebody in here that can say we come this far by faith, leaning on the Lord, trusting in his holy word. He's never failed me yet. I don't care if you're fighting a world struggle. I don't care if you're fighting a state struggle. I don't care if you're fighting a struggle in your house. I come by to let you know, where is your faith? If you believe God can do it, God will work it out. Somebody give God glory and give God a praise right now for working it out. God will work it out in the school system. God will work it out in the state house. God will work it out in the courthouse. God will work it out in the White House. God will work it out in the trap house. God will work it out in your house. Have I got anybody in here that will give God glory and say, Jesus, we'll work it out. Say yeah. See ya! See ya! Jesus will fix it for you! Oh yes, he will!
Come on, won't you stand all over the church, all that are able? Y'all need to hear me. We are not a church that's scared to call a genocide a genocide. Because if the body of believers won't stand up, then who can we depend on too? It's our job to tell the young people in this season, God is using those students at those 150 universities as prophets. Because the challenge in this season is many of the people who we felt are our prophets have been more concerned with financial profit than being prophetic. They're more concerned with being canceled than being Christ-like. But not here. We're going to fight for kids in Gaza as hard as we fight for kids in Anacostia, as hard as we fight for kids in Suitland, hard as we fight for kids in Alexandria. It ain't no either or. It's both and. It's what we do. If you're here today and in your own life you've got one heck of a fight you're facing and it seems to be unwinnable, I've come by to tell you you're in the right place at the right time, because you're among some fighters. You're in the right place at the right time to become all that God has called you to be. If you're here today, if you're watching us virtually, if you've never accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior of your life, we want to give you that opportunity today. Maybe you're already saved, but you need a church home. We want to give you that opportunity today. Maybe you're saved, you got a church home, but you just need to rededicate your faith. You just need, or maybe you just need God to help you with a fight. Today the altar is open for you. If you're not saved and you want to give your life to Christ, if you need a church home, if you want to rededicate your faith, or you just need some help with a fight, come on, make your way to the altar. Make your way to the altar right now. Bless you, Doc. Bless you. Make your way to the altar right now. This is your moment. This is your time. If you're watching online, virtually, there's a link that will pop up for you where you can just text the word HOPE DECISION, HOPE DECISION, one word, to the number 77411. Just text HOPE DECISION to the number 77411. Believe God will make all the difference, and we want to connect with you. Someone today, you're not saved, you need a church, or you just want to rededicate your faith, or you just need help with a fight. You're going through a fight in your life, and you need some help with a fight you're going through in your life. It seems to be overwhelming. I've come by to let you know Jesus can make a way for you. Won't you come right now? Won't you come today? Today is your day. This is your moment. God bless your heart. God bless your heart. Community Hope, do me a favor. Y'all going to help me right now. There's a thing that I learned down at the encampment was this power and solidarity. Do it at the encampment. Softly, just a little bit softer, just a little softer. We were at the encampment, and there were people who would come to try to disrupt, because they leave the encampment open for everybody. There were people who would come. God bless you. We see you coming. God bless you. God bless your heart. I shake your hand. God bless you. God bless you. Can I shake your hand? God bless you, my man. He said, sure. God bless you. God bless you. At the encampment, there were people who were coming to try to be disruptive. And what I watched them do is, instead of trying to fight the people, Reverend Bill, can you help me? They would come and they would kind of link up before five of them. And whoever was being disruptive, they would just kind of go over by them and kind of corral them. Without punching them, without swinging on them, and just kind of, they would just walk together and end up walking a person up out the place. Never touched them. It was incredible, but it was a power of solidarity, the power of being together. They didn't have to swing because they were together, and they didn't have to fight by themselves. Somebody, there's power in solidarity. I'm getting ready to ask your neighbors a couple of questions. Why? Because there's power in solidarity. Sometimes somebody just needs to know somebody who doesn't even know them cares enough to ask about them and check on them. I want you to ask your neighbor a couple of questions. Ask them, one, are you saved? Two, ask them, do you need a church? Three, just ask them, hey, do you need to go down for anything? And tell them, I'll walk down there with you. Are you saved? Do you need a church? Or just, hey, do you need to go down there? Tell them, I'll walk down with you. Come on, ask seven people right now all around you. Find seven people. Make sure everybody gets asked a few times. Are you saved? Do you need a church? Do you need to go down there? I got your back. I'll walk down with you. I got your back. I'll walk down with you. I got your back. I'll walk down with you. I got your back. It's your niece. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Come on, give God a hand clap of praise for our brother. Bless you, man. Bless you. Is there someone else today? That's